Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Yeah, there I am. Same old stuff, right? Try to figure out some way to communicate with people, frankly, you know, some way take over the mind space of the human race. Do some viral brain changing, somehow get people to understand, not in a hostile way, not in a takeover way, but in a, absorption way, a Borg kind of way. This understanding that, whatever we're doing here, it's bullshit. It's all a bit silly. It's so obviously idiotic. I mean, it's just, look what runs for president. I mean, come on. This is really bad. Civilization isn't really going to work. There's nothing to do here except make a mess. And clean up a piece of it. And that's it. So we all have our little missions in life to try to make our little bit of the world better. Some people, vacuum everything and it's all clean and that makes them happy. And some people put little flowers and different little pretty things to look at and that makes it better. I mean, I have little cruddy images. I mean, they're not cruddy, don't get me wrong. But I mean, images, distractions, some sort of aesthetic, some sort of crap. And we're just playing our little role here and trying to control what little bits we have of the game to play with. And organize. And the argument is that the big picture is also the same kind of situation. It's a place that needs to be organized. it's disorganized. It's like if there were Tyrannosauruses, we would figure out ways to create fences and walls and barriers and do things to live with them, blah, 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 blah. We recognize that we have problems that need to be fixed or mitigated against and blah, blah, blah. So there's a whole bunch of people devoted to this purpose now. I mean, they're trying to cure diseases and do things, some good, some not so good, in terms of, end games, increasing the quality of life versus increasing the length of life, which one's more important? Which one maybe should you figure out how to do first? And if you figure out how to do the one thing first, then you don't have to even do the second thing because then people are totally comfortable with giving up. figuring out that, there's a time to get the fuck out because, it's not worth trying to preserve your life when you're a, wrinkled bag of fragile crap. When you're no good at organizing anymore, you're not useful. And they always turn that into some kind of stoic thing, like in the primitive tribes would just leave the old people behind on the other side of the stream or something and they would just, die. just die, It's that, it's really simple. It's not hard at all. So that to me isn't much of a solution. And frankly, I guess what the war is going to be about is the fact that, you people who think it is a solution are really stupid and you've got to be stopped. So all of these questions are sort of, going to some, here's the solution is recognizing the lack of merit to our elemental function. That it's all just, created by a evolution process to make these little gladiator monsters that have these tools that enable them to control the environment and win, the land taking over process, the territory ownership, durability, their sustainability. That all depends on being able to exploit the environment and find ways of stealing a reliable source of energy and all of this kind of bullshit. And it's all just tools, and the praying mantis has tools and the human being has this sophisticated neurological tool, of being able to learn and, manipulate the environment and make traps and make spears and throw rocks. And, the new version of that is what, trolling, finding ways to try to beat each other up in subtle ways, to win territories, whether that's the pop culture, an election, all of this crap, all to manipulate, all to gain some victory in these, and it's all these, kind of little subjects rather than any of the big picture kind of crap. So I'm sort of arguing that people really, it'd be nice to be able to, put it into an hour's worth of mind attainment. it's something that's intriguing, but it's got all kinds of lessons to be learned in it, all kinds of fun to watch, but it's a serious effort to punch holes, to poke at brains and manipulate them into a configuration, into an understanding. So anyway, I'm here advocating for what I see as kind of a, the blueprint of the cycle of life, of what's going on planet Earth. In my opinion, is pretty clear. It's pretty obvious. It's just making gladiators, making monsters, you could call them. Maybe that's too derogatory for some people, but that's what it really turns out. It's a fair word, because they're not made to do anything but crush, kill, and destroy, so to speak, just to expediently acquire their necessities. There's not built into the DNA evolution process some ethics, some idea of morality, and not torturing and not wasting and all of that stuff. It doesn't really care about how many, how much suffering is wasted. In a lot of cases, it doesn't care how many lives are wasted. You could argue with ants and bees and, these other colony kind of life forms don't treat their citizens very well. They're just fodder for the DNA molecule. Expendables. And they can be expended in huge numbers. But obviously I would say, look, that doesn't mean as much, as the quality of this life and death. And that's the more important thing, is that nature doesn't have built into it some regulator that says, too much wasted pain and suffering. It is just a practical fact that it could be causing organisms extensive amounts of torture. And it just wouldn't care. So I could argue that, say, when a caterpillar morphs into a butterfly, that, frankly, nature might not give it any anesthesia. It might start moving its pieces all around, and it might really hurt, and nature wouldn't care. And it's just the truth. That there's all kinds of parts of the system where atrocious amounts of suffering could be squandered for no useful purpose, just because nature's too stupid to realize, I should turn its brain off before I start moving its parts around. just a fact. It's like the pain in childbirth, or the this or that. There's lots of circumstances where you just say, gee, it's not very smart, the system. It's just sort of wasteful. Of this quantity of quality of existence or quality of experience, and all the stuff that hurts for no good reason, like the broken tooth. It doesn't do you any good for the broken tooth to hurt, because it's broken. You're not going to be able to fix it, you're not going to be able to heal it or protect it or do any of that crap. So it doesn't make any logical sense for you to be in pain. So anyway, you can go through all the circumstances where that's true, and there's a few circumstances, where it's the other way around, where, yes, the pain is necessary to stop you from doing something that would make it worse. cause more damage. But the point is nature's really stupid. And, you know, the arrangement, organization of our reactions and our actions, the natural impulses, are not well organized. And I guess it's part of the fact that that's why this is difficult. If it was well organized, then we could just talk about evidence and facts and be done. And we wouldn't have to worry about all these emotional crap and conditioning crap and I love my mother and father and they weren't stupid, so I have to believe what they believe or whatever the, you know, the bullshit is that causes most people to gravitate to a position. You know, they just like the way the breast cancer marchers have very stylish clothes they wear, so I'm going to join their group because they look stylish. You know, some sort of bull. People go to the library to pick up girls or something. You know, some sort of, you know, convoluted bullshit that really doesn't have anything to do with the end game, the real end game, the real function or purpose. So anyway, so it's just, you know, half... The subject isn't, you know, just not one subject. Yes, it's one goal. I mean, I could write the goal on the board, which is, you know, the key points, you know, that, yes, it's all impositional, so that's not good, so fuck it, let's not do this. I mean, being alive is just not something you can give something the choice, so let's not do it unless we can clone or something, you know, clone brains, you know. You're already born with a personality or something. You know, you're born already you. Some kind of weird thing where you don't have to be subjected to having a incompatible perspective with the Borg you happen to be born into. So... Yeah, it all ends up being some sort of, you know, like I said, it's Borgy. You know, the whole, you know, you can't even be defending the right thing because the right thing is just going to have to be another Borg to win. It's just going to have to be another thing that just takes over and, you know, does it through this process of getting people to an A and then to a B and then to a C and then to a D and then they fall, you know, because it's all falls into place. You know, they hit the right buttons in the right order and the machine says beep beep and you're done. Whatever. And so, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm arguing that I'm confident, okay, that I'm the right Borg, okay, that, yeah, I've chosen well, okay, and the right choice is to understand that, oh, yeah, there's nothing smart about creating living things and forcing them to eat each other and struggle and eke and do all this nonsense. It's not a good idea, and it just creates a bunch of it'll never be organized enough and perfected enough to be safe for a consciousness. And in some respects, I'd argue that they could never even enjoy the sensations of pleasure and gratification if you don't first give them the negative to compare it to. And so it's defeated from its initiation because you have to break it before you can make it. And the breaking is never justifiable. yeah. All right. So, I mean, all this is to say, okay, yes, eventually there's a really well-organized pile of words and themes and pictures and ideas. Okay, and so far we haven't been able to create that. But, you know, it's a perfectly achievable goal that you create a piece of propaganda, you know, material, content, that just so well illustrates the, what I know as a intuitive common sense idea. I know it to be common sense, you know, kind of, you know, don't even want to use common because obviously it's not common, but I know it, you know, just, you can just, you know, it's just there. You can't miss it. The impression, okay, that certain things are just unacceptable, like owning slaves, right? So that's sort of connected to the imposition argument. I don't have a right to derive my comfort by obliging something else to be tortured or in some way, you know, detrimentally affected, you know, with unpleasant experience. And that's the whole nature of the existence, is just covered in that. And so it's so easy to see that, oh yeah, you know, when you really, you don't have to look very hard to realize you're never going to fix that problem. You know, it's there's way too much dependency built into the function, and the dependencies, you know, do require essentially the the slavery of a biosphere. You know, you're not gonna we're never going to be in our perfectly safe virtual world, and we're never going to be in a mechanical environment that's going to be free of the necessity to essentially enslave a biosphere to create the conditions to keep us alive. You know, to synthesize all of it in some safe way, some do no harm to sentient feeling organisms, is just not very attainable. Realistic as a goal. Right, but you know, so real point is you know, I've often talked about staircases and the idea that intelligence, you have to just go up all these stairs and get to different places, perspective. You gain more perspective, the more facts you collect, the better, easier is to see the maze, the better is to understand what needs to stay and what needs to go. All of that kind of crap. And, you know, like some people won't concede that any other organism but humans are alive, you know, in the conscious sense, that somehow you can't really torture an animal, you know, that kind of thing. You can't create a negative brain state, you know, in some other animal's brain. And it's, you know, that's so dumb. You know, and you're just saying, well, wow, we gotta go way back down the staircase and drag that person up a few stairs, because that's really stupid. So yeah, you're trying to talk to a bunch of people in different places and try to say something that means something to all of them. And it's, you know, that's a lot to do. It was a pretty significant challenge to be able to put all of those elements that you need, you know, all the stuff that gets people high enough where they can see the same thing you're seeing and recognize the truth. So, I mean, like I said, there's key concepts that we'll get to, you know, the imposition argument, the fact that we're robots. I mean, that's a big one, right? I mean, once you realize that your function is just a bunch of reflexes, you're just knee-jerking through your existence. You're triggered constantly, you know, and you just do this reacting. You react to words, you react to sentences, you react to how somebody looks at you. You react to colors, you react to, you know, facial expressions. You react to everything. And, you know, many of the reactions are just conditioned problems you have, okay? They're not smart reactions. They're just built out of old bigotries and old comforts. You like the way your mother cooked, and, you know, anybody else's cooking isn't good enough, and blah, blah, blah. You know, all the little bullshit that we're hung up on or get distracted by. And, you know, once you recognize that, that's all we are. We're just we're byproduct. We're not product. You know, we're just robots reading a script. You know, that we didn't write, you know, that was imposed upon us, and now it's our job to go through existence to try to do this, whatever, again. Some people are, you know, right now they're vacuuming, and right now I'm doing this, okay? I'm trying to convince people that there's a huge value thing that's being squandered and wasted, that we are, in fact, evil, because we're allowing torture to take place, and we're not paying any attention, and we're not doing anything about it, and it's just evil, evil, evil. You know, so that's part of it, though, right? Part of the story is going to get people to recognize what the word even means, good and bad, you know, and that it's bad to be bad, and that you can't just say, oh, well, we've been bad so long, who cares, right? Does it matter? No, there's going to be kids tomorrow getting cancer and going through all this bullshit, and the harm is real and continuous, and, pretending it doesn't exist doesn't work, and finding lame excuses to evade the fact that it's rather urgent is just excuse making. So you can keep vacuuming instead of having to change your agenda. Guess that's a big part of it. A big part of it isn't so much convincing people. It's getting them to have the courage to accept that, oh, it means I have to change. You know, I can't be the person I was. I have to be some other kind of person, you know, and I have to make these, like being a vegan or some other kind of crap. I have to make these changes to be consistent. But again, I'd argue that there's, you know, you can make all of that a lot easier, okay, by just conceding that, yes, yeah, some things you don't have to change tomorrow. So some of these arguments are, you know, obviously it's not going to happen tomorrow, so, you know, you don't have to accept being nuked tomorrow, you know. You're not, we don't have to go out and sterilize all life on Earth tomorrow. That, yeah, we have to work up to that in steps, and so some of this stuff you're not going to have to face the real hard part tomorrow, you know, maybe the day after. Or maybe not at all, again. Like I said, it's probably not something our generation is going to have to bite the hardest part of the bullet. But I guess you could argue that's a relative position, because also once you recognize the philosophy, once you recognize it's the right thing to do, I mean, once you know jumping on a grenade is the right thing to do, it gets easier and easier to do. You know, once you know, oh yeah, it's the right thing to do, it's the right thing to do. You know, once you say that a few times, and then you recognize that, well, you know, it's really not the worst way to die. It's probably, better than the other options. If you're in a war, you know, it's probably better than the being half-killed thing, you know, being completely killed. So, you know, there are ways to put it in perspective where it's not impossible to still live a life that has enough pieces of what you, what your old, what your archaic self can find value in. So, I mean, I do that all the time, right? I have little projects, gardening and this and that, this stupid shit that I go back to because it's a place where I can, you know, be comfortable and I don't have the burden of any responsibility to say the right thing or, you know, build this perfect argument or all of this. You could just get away from the job, so to speak. And I don't see a crime in that. And some of it, I'd argue, is completely necessary if you're going to stay functional, you know, and stay strong enough to take the time out of your life to devote to this idea of doing something useful and productive. And something that does something to help the staircase process of trying to get the human race to walk up the staircase. You know, to get out of the sewer of religion and fables and bullshit about how wonderfully marvelous, you know, life with little rainbows and, you know, tweety little birds and all that kind of horseshit, and recognize that there's a really high price paid, and most of the things used as positives, as things that are worth all this horror. You know, it's like the love thing, right? They always, you know, so many movies use the love thing as some kind of theme to justify all kinds of slop and horror. And there's a great part of that in that, what's that movie called? The Fifth Element, right? Yeah. you know, and it's this, you know, all of this, you know, horror, and, you know, just all of this dysfunction, all of this brokenness, all of this slop, you know, and somehow you just cover it in love and it's all okay in the end, you know, because two people love each other, everything's all right. You know, and, you know, it's just so sappy, and it's just such a gigantic, you know, weak plot, idea or theme, you know, that you're just saying, oh, come on, you can't be this silly. you know, and then when you think about, you know, what that hall is built out of, you know, then even, you know, part of the movie is even showing just how base that whole process is anyway, how trivial in some respects and how transitory whatever little pleasures you get are, you know. I mean, if you would have gotten all the things you desired to have, you know, you would have been left with the day after syndrome or even the year after syndrome where you can barely compose a good memory. You know, it's not any, your memories of the best moments of your life aren't any more substantial, you know, in your brain than yesterday's fantasy. You know, and when you start to realize that kind of stuff, I mean, it does make any kind of ambition, it does sort of diminish it as being worthy of your attention, by just realizing that, you know, for a lot of these things, if you know you had your one great day, yeah, it's still tomorrow shows up and there's no more great day, and it's, you know, and the memory is nice, but it's really not enough. You know, it's not going to satisfy you. I mean, the serial killers have to keep going out and serial kill. You know, it doesn't do the job. They're satisfied for that long, and then they have to just go out and get some more. Kind of like eating, but it's, you know, it's just this reoccurring problem, and that we're kind of meant to be. Chasing, you know, dissatisfied chasers. We're not built to be satisfied, comfortable, you know, no, that's not the game we're playing. It's not the nature of the way we're manipulated, how desire controls us, blah, blah, blah. So, but that's all part of something I think a person needs to have some understanding of, how they're being manipulated by their ambitions and desires, to kind of understand just what a slave you are, and you're to, you know, a natural condition that's just kind of evil, you know, to create this carrot on the stick kind of thing, you know, and just force you to chase something you're never gonna, you, like I said, you get it, you'll be happy for 10 seconds and then it'll all be over and you'll be back to chasing another carrot. And it's, you know, as a game, you would call that insidious. You wouldn't call that friendly. You'll have some. It's not the kind of, you know, here's an insidious syndrome. You know, I'll give it to you as a pie. You know, you don't do that with a plague, and it's a plague of, you know, this illusion that we're getting somewhere, going somewhere, when, you know, it's not the game. The game is just to tread the water. You know, we're just running on exercise bikes, you know, and the brain and the nature have created this fake ambition, and we're just cycling and cycling, and we're never going to get anywhere. You know, it matters, that's perfect, that's more complete than something kind of trivial. Like, so again, you know, it, like I said, love is, it's a nice word, okay, it's a nice concept, you love somebody for whatever 15 minutes. You know, but, you know, it's based on such, You know, for most people, it's based on something just so superficial. You know, they, you know, especially for men, I would argue, you know, it's so crass in terms of the desire is all built out of, you know, notions of conquest and aesthetics, you know, and, I'll pause because, you know, I don't really want to get into, you know, I don't want to get into a conversation of just, I mean, you can really take it apart, and it is really, it's really crude. You know, there's just nothing good about most of that desire driving men towards women. It's all just so crappy. You know, there. I mean, it's the sort of the just the joke of, well, she has a wonderful personality. You know, nobody cares. You know, that's not, nobody's after that. You know, it's not even close to even giving a shit about a personality. Now, I won't argue that there's some people, again, that, you know, they, it works to create some sort of lifestyle where you have some complement, you know, in your life who's doing the parts that you don't want to do, you know. So when we start to role play and do that kind of crap, you know, that all makes some sort of sense. It's, for a lot of people, it's a lot easier to live with somebody because then they don't have to learn how to cook their own dinner and they don't have to do all that kind of crap. But, you know, that's, you know, it's just, it's harder to live on your own, right? I mean, it's just harder to do. Like, say, you know, break both your arms and you can't even drive yourself to the hospital, you know. So, I mean, obviously there's some value to having the infrastructure of other people in your life. But most of those relationships are just based on some sort of usury, you know, some sort of, they're sort of a slave to your deficiencies or a slave to your needs, not really a slave to, they're not genuinely, you know, it's not it's parasitism, okay? The symbiotic relationship is still very parasitic. You know, it's not like you're really giving a shit about anything, you know, real, you know, something of integrity. It really is sort of crass, usury. Yeah, well, good enough time for a break. All right, so just thinking how, you know, I feel kind of cruddy, kind of bleh. You know, in this video, I'm just kind of morbid and melancholy, and, you know, all of that's not going to, you know, you know, it's not going to be, you know, that pie isn't going to smell like something people are going to want to eat. So, yeah, you have to do all this. Part of the engineering is just all this fakery that is sort of annoying. That, you know, you have to create deliberately these kind of, you have to cheat the truth. It's sort of like the Darth Vader thing, you know, like they create this evil character, but they make it the evil character sympathetic, you know, because you see that he's all blown up and, you know, fucked up, and so he's, you know, he's, you almost are fighting for him, you know, just because he's, like, earned it. He has all these scars, and he's, you know, all this brutality, and all this, and he's won, and you just hate to see that something that survived fail. You know, it's just your instinct, your, at least mine, is to have some, you know, you turn that into an underdog in a way. It's not exactly the same thing, right? It's not exactly an underdog. It's just, you have this admiration for the warrior, you know, that's earned it in some way. Something like that. Well, anyway, but that's part of the design, right? And you have to make, you have to turn things into, there's so many stupid parts of, you know, you could go through the psychology of any movie, right? Any one of these, you know, I never really understood 2001 as being anything but nonsense. I couldn't follow along at all. You know, even HAL didn't make any sense. you know, in kind of a big way. It's like, well, it's always these flaws, like Star Trek, you know, Spock seemed a little bit excitable, you know, especially the early Spock. Anyway, you know, and his logic was kind of limited to the same kind of satisfy human ambitions, as if there's some logic in that. But anyway, I mean, all these little flaws that have to be built into these things, or they wouldn't be sellable. So they have to have these fake edges. So evil can never be really evil. You know, in that they'll never make a monster that isn't that is as pure as something like nature. You know, because it has to be so stupid yet so powerful, and there's no parallel. Like in our real world, it just doesn't work that way. In all of the systems we engineer, stupid things can't win. You know, in most cases, there's no connection between stupid and power. But yeah, because nature is at the core, you know, it's able to get away with having insane amounts of power, and yet be incredibly stupid. And so how do you create how do you consolidate that kind of stupidity into an alien life form or something? It really just can't be that stupid. You know, it can't have the intelligence to, you know, travel the universe and be that dumb. You know, it's just not possible to combine those two things. So you have to find some other way to cheat the truth a little. But I did just think, you know, I was thinking, you know, just as Star Wars popped into my head, and you have the whole Death Star scene, you know, where they blow up a whole planet. And, oh my, and then everybody gets over it in about 10 seconds. You know, it's you know, so what? You know, and in the end, it's all like fireworks and happy because, yeah, we win. And so, you know, until the next time. Till the next planet gets blown up. You know, I don't know. It's just, it's not very logically coherent, okay, in terms of a plot. And just the idea of it, all this constant warring, constantly at war, you know, who, but they make that somehow sensible. When, you know, no, that's, why would you want either side to win? It just looks like bad and worse. You know, because they're satisfied in, you know, fighting this perpetual war. Anyway, it's kind of a sidetrack. Well, the whole movie, the whole video is a sidetrack. Because, yeah, it's all in this process. You know, I'm just sitting here with these concepts that you have to put together, and then you have to organize it into some sort of drama, some sort of intriguing storytelling. I guess that's the right way to put it. You know, you have to do this Shakespearean, or, well, you can't even say Shakespeare, because that's kind of, you know, some of the commoners might not be following along. You have to make this storytelling kind of out of stick figure, kind of. You have to make the drama more obvious, I suppose. I mean, you know, who knows how much the language is more of a barrier than the storytelling. Anyway, yeah, no, some stories are just too convoluted. You can't follow along. Who's on whose side and who did what, and, you know, that kind of thing. So it has to be simple enough, and, you know, the good and evil has to be well enough displayed. And so, yeah, in the past I've thought of lots of ways of doing that in terms of creating some sort of science fiction story, okay, where in the story all of these subjects could be in some way or another dealt with. By characters who weren't, you know, hateables. You know, so you have to put it into some conversation, you know, where like Yoda and Darth Vader are at the table, you know, having the conversation. Some kind of way where there's characters that you can appreciate more than you can appreciate Joe Smo. You know, that's kind of a complicated thing to do. But anyway, I mean, that's the project as it sits. But yeah, it's a stage thing. You do, you know, I just, there is a lot to it. So, I mean, I think to get people to some kind of idea, you know, where they can really understand the depth of the manipulation of being a living organism and how you're not in control. A lot of crap is in control. And even saying the word control, you know, your brain can say, okay, what's controlling me? You know, and then you go through all these processes in your brain about, well, you know, what happened when I was 7 years old, and then that thing that happened when I was 12, and then, you know, that's what's in control. It's a bunch of little events that gave you some appreciation for something you saw. You know, again, I could say that, you know, for me, evolution got consolidated. I went from this having this great deal of connection to nature. I liked it. Okay, I liked it better. I liked being outside more than I liked being inside, kind of thing. You know, I liked interacting with animals and trees and bugs and, you know, the environment more than I liked interacting with people. To, you know, this realization that this is all very horrible. You know, that all of these little animals are being, you know, the attrition rate and the sadness of it, the tragedy of it, and you know, eaten alive kind of stuff, just really grotesque. And so it became a negative. And so then my brain metaphored it as a tree, you know, dripping with blood. You know, that evolution is not a good thing. And so I just have a simple symbol. But how? What do you have to do to get to those, to the place where you have that simple symbol? I mean, most people are still looking at the green tree with the little birds and the rainbow, and you know, can I create an experience that allows them to see the that our origin is just another one of the monsters on the branch? You know, just another machine to do exactly what we've done. You know, win. And, you know, and do it in ways that are just insanely, wasteful of this precious thing, which was, being alive and conscious and feeling, and how much of that has just been disposed of in such grotesquely brutal and horrible ways, and that justifying one of it is impossible, let alone whole planets of it and all that kind of stuff. So again, it just goes back to how people can negate the existence of problems. Like I said, in a movie, you can blow up a whole planet and, you know, it just really doesn't bother people. Why? It's just planet. Yeah, so what? It's not them. You know, it's some other planet. So you're basically just showing people how clearly detached they are from, you know, recognizing things as they really are, because it's all about what you're attached to. As long as it doesn't affect, you know, the cement holding up your house, as long as other people's cement is infected, you know, it's all okay. It's not a big deal. It's not a big problem until it starts cutting parts off of me. And just that idea of the selfishness of that and just how controlled we are, you know, by that self-interest and the fact that we have to feel our feelings. You know, you don't get to do it, I have to do it. You know, so it's, you know, it matters when it's happening to me, and it's, you know, it has to matter less when it's happening to you. I mean, you know, but I can understand that, wow, that's a huge unfairness. It should matter the same. But it's, I have to create the illusion of that. I can't do that instinctively. You know, and that's the problem, say, parents would have. Somebody has kids. Is this idea that you could intellectually or intelligently understand that, that what makes a kid valuable is having the kid properties. And the fact that you own one, or you have one, or one looks like you, or some kind of crap, doesn't make it any more worthy of being cared for and watched out for and educated and all of that good stuff. And so, you know, there's a huge bias built in. It's hard for people to do that. It's hard for them to see it that way or to feel it that way. And because they can't feel it that way, they pretend they can't think it that way. So I guess that's part of what you have to get people past too, is just recognizing how, as much as they can say something, like, I understand, it's still there. The bias is still really strong. And understanding sometimes isn't enough. It's not a full measure of devotion to the recognition and what it means. But again, having kids is just so small-sighted, in terms of if you rationally think about it, there's just no way you can think this project, you're up to it. that there's any way you're going to have the skills necessary to create another human being without making perhaps horrendous mistakes and having circumstances ruin your project. Turn your, it's made out of, whatever, oatmeal. And you can't even let too much rain fall on it. I mean, it's the thing is so hard to keep on course, your plan, whatever your plan is, impossible. And failure is substantial. The risk of what failure means is, drug addictions and, miserable, depressive, drunken, bad life. I mean, all the scenarios are really bad. They can be really bad. A lot of time spent in anguish and torment and all of that crap, and that's what you're imposing. I mean, that just by itself, just on a personal level, I mean, even that one subject, you could just narrow that one subject and just say, what is a person thinking when they're having a kid? How do they think, why do they have any confidence? Why aren't they scared to death? Because there's every reason to be. There's just no reason to feel comfortable or proud or happy. And there's no stage where you can be sure you've covered the bases enough. And you have nothing. Nothing's protecting you from the fact that the kid has some bad genetics that's going to give him cancer when he's 15. I mean, you have no protections and no insurance policy, and you're playing with fire, in the house of sticks. It's just, how could anybody be comfortable doing that? And especially doing it with something else's welfare. I mean, it's gross. So the very fact that they can't see that, I mean, that one's just so easy to kind of viscerally understand. Somebody just talks to you about reality and says, well, these are the statistical probabilities. This is how it works out. And, they're not statistics for no reason. I mean, there's real causes here. And you can't just say, well, people have car accidents because they're stupid. That's a high percentage. But, there's for every accident, there's a victim, so to speak. There's somebody who maybe was completely innocent, and it's all this other asshole's fault. And those are just as real a victim. They're not going to be prevented by merely saying, my kid's not stupid. Well, your kid not being stupid isn't going to guarantee that he doesn't get destroyed by somebody who is. It's almost, you could... You think about it in so many ways. I mean, if there was a place you could go and have your perfect person, your perfect mate created for you, but it came with this real liability that perfect person's going to have to die and go through some kind of maybe a few really harsh events, maybe have breast cancer and all that kind of stuff and all kinds of just the real life kind of crap. would you press the button to create that person? I mean, they're going to be everything to you, okay? but you're going to be subjecting them to a kind of, you know, slavery to your desires. And they're going to pay a real price for it. It's not going to be free. It's going to be expensive. And everybody's life is expensive. I mean, and, you know, just about. I mean, there's just, you could probably come up with a few scenarios where somebody just got terribly lucky and just evaded, you know, ever being hungover and evaded ever having some kind of physical illness, you know, some contagion or whatever, and evaded this and evaded that and then dropped dead in their sleep. Yeah, there might be three people who've had that kind of life, but it's nowhere close to being common or something that could be expected or something you could use as a defense and say it's okay because there's a 1 million chance that my kid won't die horribly. Yeah, okay. Oh, there's a 1 in 1,000 or 1,500 chance, you know, that it won't have to go through some debilitating process before it dies, and you know, that it might have some really hard years, you know, doing hard time on Earth, the prison, you know. I mean, those aren't even, that's not even complicated, right? It's not even complicated to have a few thoughts about, you know, those facts. But, yeah, so many people just evade ever even contemplating it. You know, they're too busy, you know, accomplishing their vacuuming, organizing the pencils on their desk or some kind of bullshit. And they really just don't spend any time contemplating meaning, you know, and the real implications of everything they're doing. And the fact that they have so little, there's so much at stake and so little rational control mechanisms. None of the buttons really work. You know, you're supposed to press certain buttons to fix certain things, and, you know, 90% of the buttons don't work. And it's really complicated to prevent harm, because it's not just about, you know, there's no certainty to anything. Everything is vague and you know, incredibly nuanced. You know, there's no pet the cat, don't pet the cat. You know, you pet the cat and then the cat just feels comfortable, lies down, and later on, because you've changed its destiny, you know, it's whatever, going to stick its paw in a mouse trap and have a terrible trauma, and then it's going to be nervous for the rest of its life, and it won't go near any of the furniture, and it only sleeps in the middle of the room, and, you know, who knows? I mean, no good deed goes unpunished kind of thing. I mean, it's this is such a mess to navigate, you know, to live a good life. You know, and, you know, that really isn't hard to grasp, I don't think. I don't think that should be hard for people to acknowledge. But if it comes with a whole philosophical baggage that, oh, because you've accepted that truth, now you have to accept that you're a robot and that the whole thing sucks and that we should blow the planet up, you know. And, yeah, they're going to run away from admitting the truth because, yes, you've tied a whole bunch of implications to that truth that, yeah, you really can't fix it. You have to put it humanely out of its misery, blah, blah, blah. And they don't want to accept any of that. They want to find some way to reclimate, resurrect, you know, force it to work, even though it can't work. I guess that's a good analogy. It's like some kid with some, you know, completely broken toy, and he just keeps you know, trying to make it work, you know, when it's just not going to work. It's broken. I don't know. It's probably a real analogy for that, but I can't think of it as the moment. So I'll take a little pause near the end, I think. All right, just had a transitory thought, you know, just flew into my brain. So yes, this video sucks, okay, in terms of I have the wrong attitude to be persuading anybody, but that's really not the audience I'm talking to with these redundant thousands of videos, blah, blah, blah. They're not going to do the job of taking people from any position and gravitating them to some better point of view, some more realistic viewpoint regarding the nature of existence. It's a good background image for the point. I mean, they're just not going to get the robot part without you have to focus on it and, you know, work on just sending that single message. But anyway, I was thinking just that, you know, we don't have any power. You know, it's not like we're an alien race. I'm going to show up on Earth and I'm just going to extort you into doing the right thing. You know, I can't send my army to just, you know, scare the shit out of you and say you're going to behave like civilized, intelligent organisms and accept reality. it's not going to happen that way. It has to happen through this convincing process, this persuasion thing. And it's really tedious and time-consuming, and it has to be done very well and precise, and it's almost like a, you know, computer project. It's almost, you need a bunch of computers to figure out, you know, what works and what doesn't work, what sentences, how to phrase it, how to state it, what kind of image should be on it, you know, how I should construct this thing. And that sort of compares to art, you know, and how somebody could do a perfect painting of nothing, you know, some washerwoman. I mean, that's really Vermeer or something. He painted a lot of, you know, brilliantly perfect paintings of shit. just pretty uninspiring shit. I mean, stuff that just wasn't terribly interesting. People who weren't terribly interesting looking. That kind of, it was almost like, he made photographs, and photographs really aren't as interesting as the defects you can create by doing the rendering in some other way, you know, where it has these imperfections and enhancements, you know, created by the artist who changes the light and creates a little bit more to it. So it is kind of ironic that he used a method that was sort of a cheat, but it was mechanically precise. And the mechanical precision really wasn't the winning. It's not the winning style where you could say that Van Gogh was really reckless and, you know, really emotional in terms of making something look as he felt about it, which was such a different style. Now, it could be just as unappealing to somebody who wants something more organized and aesthetic. It's sort of a good analogy. But anyway, so I was thinking about the aliens, you know, and they would show up and they would just say something to the human race like, you know, look, you can do what you're doing. It's fine. Just live out your lives. But we're really against this whole thing, you know, existing in the universe. So live out your lives. Just don't do any of this procreating crap. Don't, you know, keep redundantly telling the same story over and over again when it's such a bad story. It's, you know, sad and tragic, and, you know, Romeo gets fat and, you know, Juliet gets cancer. Why do you want to keep doing that over and over again? Fuck it. Let's not do that. So just play it out, okay, one more time. Do your play one more time, and then let's just, you know, we'll just close it down for you after you're done. We'll clean it up. Would that be so horrible? Yeah, I know. So, in some respects, I guess that's my, wet dream. That some aliens would come to rescue and, fix the problem. But, yeah, no, we can't be waiting for them. We're gonna have to do it, and it has to happen through people doing this, thinking about it, and trying to think about how you convince people of, you know, what seems like obvious stuff. There's no God. Nature sucks. You know, we're just robots. You know, You're just programmed by a bunch of triggered psychological crapola. There's some beauty in the fact that we are capable of, you know, organizing facts and figuring out that, hey, it's a DNA molecule, and hey, this is how, you know, all that's really good stuff, that we can learn the physical function, and in learning the function, we can sort of embrace and feel better about the fact that even saying we're robots, it's not a bad thing intrinsically, it's just bad to think, you know, that it's perfect, or that, you know, it's good enough, because it's not, because of the fact that the robot has inside of it this capacity to release torture. I mean, it's like we're robots and we're, you know, we contain this plague of harm. The capacity to create it, cause it, to break the glass that contains it, or however you want to look at it, and that we're not competent to take care of, you know, the harmables. Something like that. All right, so we'll call it a video. And I'll keep working at it. Yeah, that's all I can do, right? Yes, that's all I can do. So I do my little bit. And, but yeah, that's the idea, is to construct the mega weapon. And it's just going to be words. It's going to be ideas. It's going to be a theme, a subject. It's just going to be an explanation of concepts, an exploration of concepts. And done well enough, won't need to say any more. You know, it will convey a real empathy and a true respect for just how, yeah, it's, you know, really interesting, really fascinating that we were able to achieve this through biological function, but the achievement just isn't good enough, doesn't function well enough to deserve to be perpetuated. There's no job for it to do in the universe. It doesn't have a function. Mars would not be better off with feeling things tormenting each other. It wouldn't be a good idea. And if it's not a good idea for Mars, it's not a good idea for Earth. All right, something like that. That's the goal, is the realization that, yes, it's all fun. You know, it has its little bits, but it's just, you know, maggot infested. You just can't make a friend out of this. It's a walking bag of maggot. It's just not, no, you don't do this. All right, anyway, yeah, that's enough. Sorry, cranky, you know, uncomfortable. Sometimes it's hard to say, you know, you have this malaise that takes you over, and it's hard to figure out where it's, is it physical? Like, oh, I need some vitamin E, or some kind of bullshit, or is it just your psychology has kind of droned you down into that state, and it's hard to tell sometimes. So I'm sort of in that state where it's hard to tell, you know, whether I'm just physically run down or whether I'm just mentally run down. And that's forcing my metabolism to just, you know, say, fuck it. We don't want to function anymore. You know, you're too depressing. We're going somewhere else. Something like that. Anyway, just part of the irritating part of life is that you don't get to know exactly what frickin', you know, there's little glands and little squishy bits inside of you, you know, that are pushing chemicals around. And the fact is that sometimes all you need is a little bit of that, you know, whatever it is, you know, and you just don't, we're not given control. We're not given the ability to just, you know, hit the button. Get rid of that bullshit. All right. It's kind of an unrelated subject, but whatever. I suppose it's all related. Anyway. Oh, this isn't supposed to be here yet. Yeah. So pretend that wasn't there, because it wasn't supposed to be there yet, right? Yeah, it's not supposed to be there. Yeah. This isn't that video. All right. Anyway. So till the next time, and such and so forth and whatnot. I probably should hit this button. Just fade away, right? Do I fade away or do I slide away? Well, I slide away. Okay. So I did that. Till next time, and such and so forth and whatnot.